7th.
November the 8th. Reap what you sow.
Okay, so when did Ernest Holmes start? Was he the founder of this?
Yes, Ernest Holmes founded it.
And when did he start this?
27th.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a, you know, it's Ernest Holmes took all the teachings from all the great people.
Uh-huh.
And all the books and so forth.
And it collated together.
Yes. Compiled, took the truth from all religions,
right.
All philosophies, and compiled them. And discovered that thread that runs through all. There's a thread that runs through every philosophy and every religion.
Right.
But we just get sidetracked all the time.
Right.
Because somebody wants to make it something that it's not.
Right.
Visualization, interesting, because the last couple of nights have been having fabulous dreams. I picked up 2 Emmys last night.
Good.
1 for acting, 1 for writing.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, the dreams are in the mental world. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
And here it is, our second week in November already. And as we said in November, what we're going to talk about is harvesting. What we already put out, and if you heard me earlier, I said that tonight's topic is reap what you sow. And this is a wonderful time of year to start to reap now what you have sown over the years, over the decades, throughout your entire life. All the things that you have accumulated, the knowledge and stuff you have accumulated, it is now time for you to take that and do something with it instead of just collecting and collecting and collecting. You have to put it into practical use now. So that's what the month of November is all about. When we see nature doing that, we always take a hint from nature. I love the wonderful thing about a hint from nature was they asked Buckminster Fuller where we should put a nuclear plant. And he said, I would take a hint from the universe and put it where the sun is, you see.
Mm-hmm.
93 billion miles away from us. It's the only safe place for a nuclear plant to be. But we don't, since we have left the land, and since we have moved to the cities, and since we become completely urban, people fail to see how nature works and how the rhythm works and so forth, with the change of seasons, with everything. And that's what... Good evening. I hear nothing but wonderful things about you.
Aha. And right back at you.
Yes, isn't it wonderful? Good for you, dear. I'm pleased with you.
Your teachings have been so successful.
Okay, good. So anyway, because we moved away from nature, we fail to see the lessons that we can learn from that. And in this time of year in November, is the time of harvest. This is when we harvest things. So start to harvest all your affirmations, all your treatment work, all the ideas that you've had, that you've left in your mind for so long. It's now time. It's time to harvest those things. So think of that whole idea of what you sow is what you reap. That means what you think about, you bring about. You know, I gave a talk 30 years ago, and the title of it was Plant a Radish, Get a Radish Every Time. That was from the Fantastics.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is, you see, if you plant a disbelief, if you plant something in your mind, you're going to get that. It's not going to change. You say, if you plant prosperity and abundance, you're going to get prosperity and abundance. If you plant scarcity, you're going to get scarcity. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. So what are you thinking about all day long? What are you thinking about yourself? And remember the things we want to think about ourselves. Not only that we are wonderful human beings, not only that we are a wonderful masterpiece, that we are magnificent beings, we have to know that we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. And when we know those things, our life starts to change because the universe backs you up on that. This thing that we call God will not change your mind about yourself. We are not puppets here. We have what's called free will. And with that free will, we have what's called choice. And life is nothing but choices. What choice am I making? Everything that's in your life today is in your life today because you chose it to be in your life. whether you know that or don't know that, you see, you've chosen what's in your life today. So you have to look around and see, do I like what I have? If you like what you have, ask for more. Be grateful for what you have. If you don't like what you see, and change your mind about it, and know that you can have what you want. But you have to change your mind. God and the universe will not change your mind for you. The universe is a looking glass. It is a mirror. And it only reflects back to you what you were thinking. It only reflects back to you what you were thinking. So people think, oh, I'm no good, I'm this, I'm a failure and all. Then they go out for a job interview and they wonder why they don't get the job interview. Because the universe reflected right back to them what they were thinking about themselves. So you have to think good thoughts about yourself and not wait for other people to tell you how good you are. You have to do that for yourself. But it's always going to boil down. I think it was Andy who said, well, things change. Yes, this class changes. But the basic philosophy in this class never changes. It's always going to be, it's done unto you as you believe. It's always going to be God-oriented. It's always going to be you have to have a mental equivalent before you can do anything. And then you have to know good things about yourself. And you have to see yourself as the divine person that you truly are. That's why we can make that statement. All that I am is God, but I am not all that God is. So you have to know that you're connected with that divine power. But that divine power can only do for you what can do through you. What does that mean? Through your thinking. So if you think you're nothing, that is what you're going to get. That is what you're going to get. Another law, we like to call it the law of cause and effect. And it is the law of cause and effect. What you put out, you get back. But there's a wonderful law in the universe which states this. Nothing for nothing. You have to expend energy to get other energy. If you do nothing, you get nothing. That's the whole idea of God helps those who help themselves, you see. You have to do something. You have to make the first step. Then the universe will support you in that step. And that's what you have to know, that the universe will support you, that this thing we call God is not only your friend, not only your creator, but is your partner in things and wants to help you. And then you turn that over to God when you're overwhelmed, when you're everything. Your little mind gets overwhelmed. You say, I'm completely overwhelmed, but I know that you're not overwhelmed. So you'll have to take care of this for me. You'll have to figure this out at the present moment. And I know that you can't do that. And then God will figure those things out for you. And the universe comes to your aid. Always comes to your aid. But you have to do something first. But always hold yourself in the highest of esteem. And know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And with that, let's do the matter thing. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay.
Woo-hoo. So let me talk a moment about this thing. Reap what you sow, or plant a radish, get a radish, and let's see how this whole thing works. And I'll use this wonderful story that I have about myself as usual. And this happened to me maybe 30-some years ago when I was first starting in religious science. I was in, at that time, not only studying religious science, but I was in the real estate business, and I managed apartment buildings. And I was selling real estate. And that my apartment got broken into, and a bronze statue was stolen. And the police said, well, forget that. You will never get that back. You could go to all the pawn shops. You could do this, that, and the other thing, but you will never get that back. So I left that go for a while, saying, oh, well, that can't be right. But I was too lazy to go to pawn shops and so forth. I thought, I'm not, that is not the way I do things. So after a while, I said to myself, now listen, Dallas, you say you're a metaphysician. You say you know this teaching. So what is yours by right of consciousness must be returned to you. So I started to think of the statue, the bronze, to bring it back to me. And I thought, oh, I remember I have a picture somewhere of this. And whenever in that those days, whenever I wanted to manifest something, I would just put it on my refrigerator. I'd put what I wanted on my refrigerator, and I'd see it on my refrigerator. So I was looking for that morning. I was looking for this photograph. I couldn't find the photograph, but I found the negative. And I never got around to putting the negative on the thing, on the refrigerator. When I went to work that day, Mary Beth Wallace, who was in our office and sold commercial property, said, "Dallas, the other day I was going through an apartment building, apartment by apartment, and she said, I'm almost sure that that's your bronze statue in there because I've never seen one like it before." It was, it's one of a kind. Well, but that's not true. There's 10 other ones out there. So she gave me the address and everything. I called the police. They went and knocked on the door, and sure enough, that was my statue. So the officer said, "Well, can you prove that it's yours?" I said, "I most certainly can." I said, "Not only does it have the artist's name on it, you will see underneath that it has my Social Security number engraved in it." So, knock, knock came at the door, and he handed me the statue. And then I said to him, "Well, did you find the watch, too?" He said, "No, we didn't find the watch." 2 days later, they called and said, we got your watch. It's here at the police station. You can come and pick it up." The young man, there were, I guess, two young men owned the apartment. The one was in when they got the statue. The other one was on the street wearing the watch. Mm. They found him on the street with my watch on. They said, "Now, how can you tell that that's your watch?" I said, "Turn it over and you'll see that it has my name on it, but it was my father's watch." And I said, "Underneath it, you'll find his Navy identification number, whatever they're called, ID, military ID on it." So I got all that back, because I planted the right seeds to get that back. And I knew what was mine by right of consciousness has to be returned to me. And I saw that. You visualize that. You see that. So I didn't even need the photo. But the mere thing is, I did something. I didn't sit there. I said, "Oh, I'll get a picture. I'll do something." To instill again in my mind what it looked like and to show the universe what it looked like. So what you have to remember with something like that is, what is yours by right of consciousness must always be returned to you. It is yours, or it's equivalent, but something has to. Once you know that it belongs to you, no one can take it from you. You say it has to always be, it has to return to that to you. So you have to get that into your head that this belongs to me. And no one can take it. That's why you can leave your doors open. That's why you can do things. If you have that particular faith, if you can do that, then you do it. If you can't, you don't. You see, the whole idea in life is to have peace of mind. And if you need health insurance to have peace of mind, you need fire insurance, you get the things that you need to have peace of mind. But the whole idea is, if you can't do it on your own, but that makes you feel secure, then you get that, because the whole idea is to feel secure and to have peace of mind. And then those things come. Now, I was going to tell you a quick thing when I thought of that also about the refrigerator routine. I was looking through a magazine and I saw a big thing that said, "Italy welcomes you." And I cut that out and put it on my refrigerator because I had been to Italy once and I wanted to return. A day later, my friend, Doug the Baptist, called and said, "Dallas, I'm going to Europe. Would you like to go with me?" And I said, "Well, I don't know what the price." He said, "Oh, I'm paying for it." He said, "My company is sending, I have to go over and I'm looking at this, that, and the other thing." And he said, "I'll pay for the trip." I said, I'm going. And I said, "Thank you very much." This is the way you do it, with visualization, with things. You put it up. Maybe you put up the soul sign once. I told you to do that.
It's funny because I have these pictures of this, of these houses that I have listed, and then they say sold on them, and there's little stickers. Yes. And everyone goes, "Are those properties sold?" I said, "Well, yes, in my mind, they are."
Yes.
And then I buried a St. Joseph, and within a week, we had it done.
Yes. You see, and that's not done with the St. Joseph, by the way.
No, but
that's done with your faith.
Right.
You see?
I just said, "St. Joseph, take care of the house."
Absolutely. That's how you do it. you do it. So that's how you reap the different things. So tonight I handed these out. If you'll take one.
Yeah.
You have one, yeah. And let's go through this. Now, we're not going to go through the whole thing, but I have a usual underlying things that I want to point out to you. First of all, let's do that. Always think of your mind as a garden and keep it beautiful and fragrant with divine thoughts. I think I told you once about that. Think of your mind as a garden and weed out. Mm-hmm. Weed. Just weed out the negative things in your garden. You have to cultivate your mind. That's where you're planting things. That's your field. That's your garden. If you want to harvest something, you have to plant the right things in your mind to be able to harvest them, you see. And then it goes back to that. You will reap what you sow. And if you sow love and kindness and compassion, that's all going to come back to you. If you sow prosperity and abundance, if you remember that money is always freely circulating here in life, that will come back to you, you see. Okay, let's go to strive to keep focused only on those positive things you desire for your life. Always strive to get for the positive things you want. Anytime a negative comes in, anytime your mind says you don't want that, get rid of that right away and replace it. Replace it with what you do want. You see, our mind is critical. Our mind is the judge. It's the one that's always going to pick out, oh, well, they could have done it differently. This could have done da 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 da. You have to train yourself not to do that. You have to train yourself to love everything. You see, it doesn't mean you have to live with it. Doesn't mean you have to like it. But you have to learn to love it. You see. So always strive to keep focused only on those positive things you desire in your life. Now, for many of us, that means 25,000 negative thoughts are being added to our programming every day. And these thoughts are influencing the reality we create for ourselves. You see, your mind, your thinking is creating your reality. And if you're thinking 25 negative thoughts, that's adding to the whole garden in there. So you have to weed those out and say, is this a negative thought? And get rid of that and learn, train yourself to think positive thoughts. Always train yourself for positiveness. Okay, let's go to the subconscious can be programmed to procure the results you desire. And with this knowledge, you can work on any area of your life. Any area of your life using your subconscious mind. Now, you all know that I do hypnotherapy and so forth, and that's working with the subconscious mind. And people want to know, oh, how can I learn that? How can I do that? If you read this article, it's so succinct. If you get this article, it's exactly what I do. It's exactly what I do, and it's not difficult at all. But you have to know that your subconscious mind is your servant. Your subconscious mind is your servant. It will do anything you ask it to do. And it will never say it cannot be done. Only your conscious mind will say it cannot be done. Your subconscious does not know that. Does not know that. So in your subconscious mind at nighttime, program, in the morning, program your subconscious mind and say, I'm using my servant. Ask your servant to do things for you. That's what you have this subconscious mind for. And that subconscious mind is connected to what we call the superconscious mind, which is the mind of God. So it's always connected. And it never sleeps. Never can take a joke either, you see. People say, well, I'm just joking. Your mind does not know you're just joking. Your subconscious mind does not know that. Your subconscious mind knows nothing outside of you. That's when you say that person's an idiot, your mind, your subconscious mind hears you're an idiot. Because it can't distinguish. Why can't it distinguish? Because we're all one. See, when you live in the oneness, when you live in this unity, then you have to realize that everything is one. So when you say something, it's you you're saying it about, not the other person. There's no one else out there, by the way. You see, this is the appearances that we think are other people out there. Very nice. They're just all facets of the same thing. We're all individualized expressions of God. And God is all there is. You see? So you have to watch what you say about other people. You have to watch it. We think it's so clever. And it's fun sometimes. So it comes right back and bites you because that's sowing something. Use your imagination and visualize all the details you can. Now, I talk about this so often in class, and people immediately raise their hand and say, well, how about outlining? Whoever wrote that outlining thing, I'd like to club on the head. Outlining, get it out of your minds completely that you're outlining anything. The only way that you get into trouble is saying, I want that Joe to be my lover. No, what you want is some all the qualities that Joe has. You see, the appearance. You go always for the qualities, but you do it in every detail, down to the minutest detail. Then you let that go, knowing that you're going to get that or something even better that your little mind can't figure out. But you have to be absolutely clear.
What does outlining mean?
Outlining means I want the house at 204 Green Street. Somebody lives there. You cannot have that house. Now, I did that once to somebody, and I said, well, couldn't they die? You know, I said, God doesn't go around killing people, so you can have a house. You see, this is, you know, we don't. It's always for the, you always have to remember that anything you're doing is always for the best of all those concerned. Of all those concerned, why is that? Because we're all one again. See, it's all oneness when you realize that. So you have to remember that. But do it in absolute detail. You said the other night you had a visualization, you won the Emmy and so forth. Well, you have to, two of them. Well, you have to see that, repeat that, and feel that. Mm-hmm. And what will it feel like? You have to have a feeling of success going on. You have to do the feeling, you see, along with the visualization. And you can make yourself visualize anything you want. You know, there's such a thing called lucid dreaming. You can make yourself dream what you want. And you can ask your mind to start dreaming what you want instead of just letting it do what it wants. The key is to see and experience only the way you would like it to be, successful and positive. Only the way you would like it to be. You see, it doesn't matter what other people, it's what you would like it to be. You see, that's what visualization is about. And people have been using visualization for centuries. But if you hold that and put feeling behind it and come down to the littlest, smallest detail, you will get that or something even better that you cannot think of. Because God is always going to be able to think of something that you can't. But it's always going to be for your better good. It's always going to be something that you're going to like even better. You see? So that's, you know, that's the way. So if you visualize, say you're visualizing a 3-carat diamond ring. You can visualize that, and somebody gives you a 5-carat diamond ring. You see? You don't say, oh, my visualization didn't work. You say?
You say, well, I need to trade it in for a 3-carat.
Yes, I need to trade it in for a 3-carat diamond ring. I always say, what we do is we not only discount ourselves all the time and discount what comes into our life saying, oh, it would be there anyway if we didn't. I made an affirmation and visualized years ago that I would have artwork and that would be one of a kind. And I kept waiting. Where is it? Where is it? I don't know. What's going on here? Well, one day I opened up my eyes and it was all there in front of me. You see, I do have things that are one of a kind. But it didn't dawn on me. That's what you have to, when you make it, then you have to see it. You see, you have to, and we discount it. And we take it for granted, we get busy with something else, and we forget, oh, I wanted that, now I have it. You see? But we go on saying, oh, it doesn't work. Oh, this doesn't work. I'm not getting anything. Sit them around a moment and look and say, oh, my God, I do have what I wanted. And it could be something that you thought about for years, you know, and then you forgot. But now if you think, oh, yes, I remember when I wanted that, but now I haven't. You see? But you have to be sensitive to what you're asking for, and then you have to be able to see it once it gets there and realize that it came to you from divine guidance, not just haphazardly, that it would have happened anyway. because you always have to know that you're being divinely guided. See? Okay? Faith, but you must believe with all your heart that this new goal is coming into your life now. So any goal you must with all your heart, you have to know that it's coming to you now. Remember, as Holmes said, if it's whatever you want, if it's in the deepest, darkest of Africa, you must realize it's on its way to you now. It's on its way to you now. That's the power you have to know about. And that this is coming. That this thing, absolutely, this thing we call God and this thing we call universe is always listening to you. I call it the big ear in the sky. So it hears everything. And it does something with everything that it hears. So, continue to focus on your goal with faith and a sense of positive expectancy. That expectancy. Desire plus expectancy. See, many people desire something, but they don't have the expectancy. It's the expectancy that puts it into force, that gives it the power to run, to do something, you see? So desire, and then have an expectancy. Otherwise, a desire becomes nothing but a daydream. And a desire is a wonderful thing, and daydreams are wonderful because you can lull the day away thinking and feeling good about it, but at the end of the day, you don't have anything, you see? You don't have anything. So, think all your desires and have expectancy behind those desires. Your mental movies and affirmations should always be in the positive, present, and successful state. We know that. Always in the positive, present, and successful state. Isn't that wonderful? Your thoughts will and do affect your entire life. You have to remember that. There's no such thing as an idle thought. You cannot get away with it. People think they can get away with thinking poorly about themselves or poorly about the world or poorly about God or whatever. You never get away with it. It's impossible to get away with it. Remember, the big ear in the sky is hearing all of that and doing something with it. So you have to say, oh. So this is where you learn to think God thoughts after it. You learn to say, now how would God approach this? There's a wonderful book out called What Would the Buddha Do? And I think there's about three of them out now. Absolutely nice books because you sit and you say, now, well, how would the Buddha approach this? How would God approach this, you say? And remember that you're part of that and move up in consciousness to that power and say, oh, that's wonderful. I heard a wonderful story about you this week about hitting somebody's car. And getting over it, catching yourself, and you caught your mind, you went in and said something to a woman, and she was nice to you.
Oh my God, she's overly nice.
You see, because you came in with the right attitude. The faster you tell the truth, the faster you get what you want. And other people get frightened, they get scared, and they think, oh, I can't tell, and that person will be angry, and it'll be this, that, and the other thing. Instead of going in, presenting it, the other person takes it. Beautiful.
Oh, she was totally like, she's like, you're more upset about it than I go. Still really bad.
Right.
And she was so sweet. I couldn't have hit the nicest person in the building.
But isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, it was fabulous.
But the main thing is,
it cut all the pressure. I mean, immediately it was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I could deal with it.
Right.
But immediately I went to the money, how much it's going to cost me.
Yep.
Then I'm like, stop this.
Yeah.
You know?
So you see, you caught your own thinking.
Right.
Now that's what you have to be. She became a witness to her thinking, and she was able to, what I call, grab her mind. And you grabbed your mind before it ran down.
You do see? The what ifs, and then you're like,
stop. And you grab it, and you stop it, and you say no. And then it turns around, and it works out wonderfully well for you.
Right.
You see. But we go. So you have to pat yourself on the back and give yourself a wonderful compliment. You caught your mind. And when you're able to grab your mind, you've learned something, you see. And that's all it is. Just reach out and grab your mind. Nope, we're not going there. And grab it and bring it back. And it works every time. So this is a wonderful breakthrough for you. And you'll learn now more and more that you're able to do that and stop listening to that mind that goes nuts on you. Because the mind will always go nuts on you. All right. This one. Never allow anyone or anything to cause you to doubt your power and ability to live your vision, to manifest your goals and your dream. See? Don't allow that. And that's what we do. Never allow anyone or anything to cause you to doubt your power and your ability to live your vision. You have to have that power, and don't let people talk you out of it. And that's what, you know, you can't make a living in that. You can't do this. You can't do that. You better get a job and all that kind of stuff. No. Don't let people talk you out of that. Goals give our thoughts positive direction and purpose. When we know what we want and where we are headed, we don't spend our time thinking about what we don't want and don't have. Remember, what we desire and think about consistently, we get. We're saying, what we think about consistently, we get. So have a goal and then keep that goal. And just like the airplane, remember, leaves Los Angeles and gets to New York, but it's off its track most of the time. And you may be, because it goes this way and that way, but it ends up where it's supposed to go. But the pilot never changes his mind and says, I think we'll land in New Orleans instead. The pilot says, no, we're going to New York, and the plane gets there. That's what you have to know with your mind, you see. Think of it as a plane, and it's going out and it's traveling. Here's my goal, and it's there, and I'm traveling on that. But whoops, now I have to, whoops, now, whoops. But see, people do that, and then they stop over here. Oh, well, I'm off it. They know. You don't stop, you see. You keep the goal, and you keep focused on that goal. If you people lined up here in a row, like this, and I wanted to get to that door, and I focused on going to that door, I would get to that door. If I focused on you people holding me back, I wouldn't get to the door. I wouldn't get to the door. Mm-hmm. This works every time because my focus is there and my strength and my ability. I would just push you right out of the way. I would get to that door. But if I saw you as a mass and said, oh, they're going to stop me and I'm now, my focus is on you, then you stop me. You see? So keep that in front of you. Keep your goal and keep going towards that goal. And don't get discouraged if it takes a little more time than you think. Look for signs along the way. Look for wonderful things along the way. Look what you have accomplished. Look what you have done. Look how far you have grown since you started this class. You have your own place now. You have all things. You're selling more real estate. You're doing this. You're doing that. You've done. And how about vacation? You're taking vacations. Now, you see, it's working.
Right.
It's working. So you have to know that. Okay, let's go to... I wish I wouldn't do yellow. It's so hard for me to see yellow. I'm all of it. But because of... I had never seen it before, but I know now that it's the perfect place for me and was made possible, not because of monetary riches, but because of my rich inner life and my partnership with God. That's a story that you can read, which he wanted a house, and the real estate person said, it's not available, it's in escrow. He said, well, when it becomes available, call me. And the real estate man, you don't understand, it's sold. Well, it fell out of escrow, he called, and he got the house. But not because of monetary riches, but because of my rich inner life and my partnership with God. Now, here is the clue. You have to remember, money is never the issue. It's not the monetary riches, but it's your inner rich life and this idea that you are a partner with God. Remember the department store, Lord and Taylor. There was no such person as Lord. There wasn't Mr. Lord. Mr. Taylor went in business with God, and he called it Lord and Taylor. And for years, people thought there was a Mr. Lord.
Oh, that's cool.
So you have to, yeah, that's his true story. So you have to remember that if you're going in, you know, always. who do you think's running this whole thing? God's running this whole thing, and you're in partnership with God. Just say, in unity, they say, you know, and I often look around my house and do that. We're only using these things and borrowing these things right now. They really don't belong to us, you see, and someday they belong to somebody else. But be happy and have gratitude that you have them to use now, you see. And once you realize that you're in partnership with this thing called God, you can do anything. You can do anything.
Sometimes when I go into my house, a lot of times I go, I love my house. Mm-hmm. I just love my house.
Yeah.
Like,
I do that every morning. I say I love my place. I'm just thrilled to death with my little house. I should say thrilled with life with my little house. Mm-hmm. Menopause, visualization, and affirmations require only a few minutes of time each day. But you'll be amazed at the results. A few minutes a day. It does not take. Some people think you have to sit for hours and visualize. It does not take that. You can do it in the car. You can do it standing in line at the supermarket or in a store. You can do it, but pass things through your mind and visualize that and have that. Those wonderful affirmations. My affirmation, of course, is always money is freely circulating in my life and I always have a divine surplus. And I keep seeing that happening. And I say, thank you. Thank you very much for all of this. No longer do you need to rue the past, worry about the future, or struggle through life as a victim of circumstances. Please, I hope we don't have any victims here. No. There's no such thing as victims. They're volunteers, but there are no victims. So don't do victimhood on yourself and give up this idea of struggle through life. You see, and worry about the future. Why are you worried about the future? It'll come or it won't come. You see, it'll come or it won't come. So don't worry about the future. And no longer do you need to rue the past, meaning give up that past. How many times have I said, please give up your past, people? Don't drag that past with you. Don't say this is who I am because I was born here, there, and came from these parents and this parent, and blah, 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 blah. And you don't understand. I can't do that because my father didn't do it, or I was potty trained too soon, or whatever is going on in your mind. That's the past. It has nothing to do with who you are and where you are at the present moment. The only thing that has anything to do with anything is what you are thinking right here and right now. Power is always going to be in the present moment. It is not in the past and it is not in the future. God does not create in the past. God does not create in the future. We call it a living God because God lives in the now. And the reason why God is able to make everything new and possible is because God doesn't look back on the past and say, well, I did it that way yesterday, so I think I'll do it that way today. There's no such thing as that. Can you see the difference if you do it from the now? So always do it from the now. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it's over there, what went behind it. You could have failed 1 million times. It does not matter. If you know now that the power is in the now, and from here on in, I am successful. From here on in, I feel successful. And then you let the success come to you. And you don't think of the past. Every great person failed many, many times before they succeeded. Edison, I think, did 1,000 experiments on the light bulb before he found the right filament for the light bulb, for the incandescent light. When they said to him, well, you failed, what did you learn from that? He said, I didn't fail. I learned 999 ways not to do it. 990 ways not to do it. So when something doesn't look out as a failure, well, that doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. And we use this all the time. Use this with like electricity and everything else. Think of electricity always. You know how to, most people don't know how to use it, but we can turn on a light. We can turn on that light. So you can turn on this power within you. You don't have to know everything about it to turn it on. You turn it on. But you do know if you don't do electricity right, it's not going to work. It doesn't mean it failed, that it's not going to work. Once you put the wires together correctly, they work. Same way with the thinking, same way with God. Put it together correctly, and you'll get what you want. So learn to use your mind. Learn to grab your mind. Learn to see when your mind's doing what it's doing to you. Learn to stop that. Remember, the whole idea is to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. That is what it's all about. And we think, oh, I have to feel this way because this happened to me and that happened to me and da 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 da. But that's a bunch of bunk. You don't have to feel that way. You can choose how you want to feel. But you have to also know that you can choose how you want to think. So, what are you thinking about yourself? Are you thinking good thoughts about yourself? And if you have a thought that's not a good thought, change it about yourself. Catch your mind and correct that. Whenever I have anything, when I scold myself for anything, I immediately back right up and say, where did that come from? That is absolutely not true. I am one with this thing called God. I am a wonderful human being, and that has no power over me whatsoever. No power over me whatsoever. But we allow the world and our mind to tell us where we're going and who we are, you see. And it's going to tell you the wrong thing every time. You have to know that within your own self, what that is. Let's see. As long as you live your life each day, absorbed in the present moment and centered on the love inside of you, being responsible and accountable for who you are and what you want to become, you will experience a life more splendid, more wondrous, and more magical than ever before. So live your vision. It's your choice. It is your choice how your life is going to be. It's always done with choice. But it's going to boil down to choice. You are choosing how you are feeling about yourself. And you think that this mind of yours is telling you the truth, that it means something. So you're really not choosing, you see. You have to know, oh, I'm not choosing that. Somebody else outside of me is doing that. My mind is doing that. And then you have to correct that. But it's done with choice. So if you know your life is done with choice, why don't you choose to think good thoughts about yourself? Why would you ever want to think a bad thought about yourself when it is your choice? You see, no one's telling you have to think badly about yourself, are they? No, you hear a little voice saying maybe, oh, you've been bad or this or that, the other thing. But you have to say, listen, that's not correct. That's not correct. And then listen to the small voice inside of you and say to yourself, huh, I have choice here. I'm the one that's choosing how I'm thinking of every moment, remember? Now, let's talk about quickly Aunt Catherine. Look at her, she lived to be 95. When I asked her once, Aunt Catherine, how do you do it? How do you always remain so positive? How do you remain pleasant? How do you live alone like this and not feel lonely and not be sad or this, that, and the other thing? She says, oh, I control my thinking. I control my thinking. You can go to every doctor, every psychiatrist, and do whatever you want, and it's always going to boil down to, what are you thinking about yourself? It's always going to be that. And are you able to choose the correct thoughts? Are you able to realize that we live in a mental world and it's done with our mind and we know how to change our mind, that we can change our mind? These are the things that you want to learn. Now, when I say that, a lot of people go, and then you let your mind talk you right out of it again because the mind has become very powerful. But you have to say, no, no, no. I'm the one that's doing the choosing, you see. You have to become a witness to that. You have to be able to detach yourself from your thinking and watch yourself from here. And say, oh, no, that isn't who I am. That isn't where I want to go. And then you change that thinking. You change that thinking. So it's weeding your garden, isn't it? So it's looking at your mind as the garden. When I was a child, my grandfather put out the most beautiful gardens. And then everyone said, oh, how does he get the rows so straight? He had everything perfect, straight, and all the different types of vegetables would stop and start. He had a board he laid down between the rows, and he kept that, and he made it absolutely straight and organized. Then everything he planted, not only was it in order, what he planted, if he planted a radish, he got a radish. He didn't get a carrot. He didn't get a carrot from it. And that's what you want to know. All your thoughts are seeds. And those seeds bloom and become something. So what kind of garden do you have going on in your mind? Weed it. Cultivate it. Hoe it. Get rid of the things that you don't want. Otherwise, you will strangle. Your garden will be strangled. It's an old story. You can have one negative thought. You can have two negative thoughts. Consider them rocks that you're throwing into your garden. Two or three rocks will not kill the garden. But if you constantly have negative thoughts, these rocks keep going in, rocks keep going in, rocks keep going in. Now you have a rock pile. What's going to grow in that rock pile? What's going to come up through that rock pile? It cannot come up through it. It cannot come up because you're throwing rocks in your garden. Beautiful, beautiful visualization to do. Do it every morning. Say, it's time for me to tend my garden. And if you do get into the garden and into the soil and so forth, people who are gardeners love to get out there and root around and tend to it and do it. So mentally do that in your own mind. And then put your rows straight and orderly and so forth. I worked for a lady years ago who always said, you've got to get your ducks in a row. And that's what so many people do not do. They don't put their ducks in a row. They have one here, there, da, 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 da. You have to put your ducks in a row. You have to have things lined up. You have to know what you are planting. And then you have to realize when you plant something, you're going to get that back. Let's say, you can't plant hate and expect love to come. It's the wrong seed, you see? So the whole idea of nature, which we call nature, if we look at nature, our life, we're connected to all that stuff. Our thoughts work exactly the same way. Our life works exactly the same way. We have the different seasons going on inside of us. We have all the things that nature has. So look at nature and look at this time of year and say to yourself, this is the time where am I going to harvest? I'm going to reap now what I've sown. And you're reaping what you have sown. You did hard work and so forth. You're learning to reap what you sow. So it all comes together. But we forget that. And we forget that we're part of this thing. The whole thing. We're part of nature. We're part of everything. We're not separated from all of this. The ancients knew that. Look at them. They knew about the moon. They knew about the sun. They knew about the stars. They certainly knew about the seasons, the growing seasons, and they knew what to do. And they had wonderful things, you know. Look at all the little... When I grew up, we had all kinds of little expressions that I don't hear anymore. Waste not, want not is a wonderful one. I never waste a thing. I absolutely refuse. And here's another thing, Aunt Catherine, was that she never wasted anything, and she always had plenty and gave things away. But she never wasted. And we're in to a throwaway society and a wasteful society. So, nature wastes nothing, you know. It wastes nothing. So, learn these different things. Learn the whole idea of a stitch in time saves nine. I love that one. Because if you do something now, you save yourself a lot down the road. And we see that, we just ignore all stuff. We just keep ignoring things. We can't. We have to come back and be part of this whole cosmos that we live in and know that we're part of the whole cosmos. But everything is, you know, here. All, you know, all the radiation, all the stuff that the sun and all these planets and other things are going through the universe. They come right through the earth and right through us. You know, we're porous. All this stuff comes through us. So know that this power that we call God, this intelligence, this energy, comes through us and does something, you see. We have to know this thing. I have some affirmations, because remember, this class is called, I'll do this one. I may have done this before, but I found this again in my desk, and I just love this. Real listening. Quiet, sympathetic, and totally attentive is one of the rarest commodities in our society. One of the rarest commodities in our society. Real listening, quiet, sympathetic, and totally attentive is one of the rarest commodities in our society. A long time ago, I said, asked a question, I will ask it again. What is the greatest gift that you can give anybody?
Time.
Attention.
Yes. Mm. The greatest gift you can give anyone is your attention. And that is what's lacking. We do not give people our attention because we're thinking inside all the time of ourselves. So when somebody poses is talking, you're posing in your mind a question to ask instead of giving full attention to it. So we have to learn to give full attention. Okay, here are the beliefs, because remember, this class is called Prosperity and Abundance, including money. So we are always want to be creating money. Money is freedom. Money is God in action. And money will certainly make you feel peaceful, have a peaceful mind. So, my belief creates good things for me. It's your belief that's creating the good things. You have to remember that. What are you believing? Are you believing in prosperity and abundance? Or are you believing in scarcity? You cannot do an affirmation like money freely circulates in my life and I always have a divine surplus and then immediately look out and say, oh, that's lacking or this is lacking. Because now you're into scarcity. And there's no such thing as scarcity. The writer's strike would not be happening if people knew there wasn't such a thing as scarcity, because they're afraid to give somebody 8 cents. That's the scarcity they're talking about. They're doing that. I have one mind. I deserve abundance. Just say that to yourself. I deserve abundance. Why wouldn't you deserve abundance? You're part of this whole process. So you deserve abundance. My beliefs create my reality. They're always going. You have to remember that. It's your belief that's doing it. Nothing else is doing it. Not the economy. Not anybody else. Great one for real estate people. It's your belief that's creating your reality. So you stop believing in whatever they're telling you right now. And I just saw the other night on television where now they're coming out with commercials for the real estate people saying this is the best time to buy. This is wonderful. It's never been better. Yada, yada, yada. So they're changing. You see, the consciousness will change. As soon as the consciousness changes, the world outside changes. It's always done with your mind. We live in a mental world. I believe in my unlimited prosperity. I believe in my unlimited prosperity. Do you believe in your unlimited prosperity? You have to believe in that. There are no limitations in the mind of God. The only limitations there are in your mind. And you can change those. And you can learn to think the thoughts that you want to think and feel the feelings that you want to feel. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.